As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a show me showdown. We got rain overhead, actually, coming down pretty strong. Hope it doesn't disrupt the broadcast as the raindrops beat upon the skylights right over my head. Hey, we got breakfast on the table, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Hope you'll be a part of it. Welcome to the Wednesday, June the 3rd, 2009, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local. Got a lot on the plate today. We come to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Got a little website out there, still needs to be rebuilt, hasn't done it yet, www.vocallocal.org. Maybe it'll do it by itself one of these days. I don't know. Anyway, my name is William Roberts. I've got good news, hard facts. And maybe we'll even find a solution or two in all of this insanity. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can sign in, pick a name, and become vocal local in the OracleBroadcasting.com chat room, or pick up the telephone throughout the broadcast, and for those with unlimited long-distance access, you may call 512-904-8014. If you're in the Austin, Texas area, that would be toll-free to you. You can also call 512-904-8014, and I believe you can take Oracle on the road with you on your mobile telephone. And from around America and around the world, you can also call in toll-free at 866-841-1065, and of course your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at host@vocallocal.org, host@vocallocal.org, and for those without internet access listening by any of our affiliate stations and micro-broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Big shout out to Liberty Radio Owensville, Micro 1650 AM Buffalo, 94.3 Elgin, Texas. Gentlemen, thank you for broadcasting Become Vocal Local. Again, our website, vocallocal.org, ozarksvoter.info. Our call-in number is 866-841-1065. Please make a note of it. And the Oracle chat room is open. Today, gold is still facing resistance at the 990 level. Just not going to make it through there. Going to take a battering ram, I guess. Another 500,000 jobs are lost in May. We'll talk about that in a moment. Revolution and counter-revolution. Marxism is going to be the mainstay of today's broadcast, of course. We'll take your calls and much, much more. Let's go into those market reports for Wednesday, June the 3rd, 2009. Active trading as a in New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Kind of got my mind in three places at the same time. But anyway, active trading in New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. 1 hour ago, gold was off $4, trading at $977.10. Silver was off 12 cents at $15.84. Platinum trading up $6 again to $12.45. Palladium flat on the day so far, $247 an ounce. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market, $972.40 for a low. $990.90 for a high. That's a pretty good spread there. Lots of action going on, but it can't seem to get much above that $990 level. Anyway, year on year, $977.10 reflects a $95.60 year-to-year increase or a gain for a 10.85% return on your investment. The boys over in London today set the AM gold fix, the London gold fix, at 979. We're trading just a buck and change below that now. We'll see what happens as the day continues. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed yesterday up 19 points. We'll find out more about that on the other side of this break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, Hey, folks, I've got a question for you. Do you force yourself out of bed each morning and drag throughout the day? Do you grab for that sugar pick-me-up only to later crash and feel even more tired? Well, I've got the solution for you. Put a Zip in your day and zap your appetite. Reclaim your get-up-and-go with Zip and Zap. Let me tell you what you'll notice in immediate benefits. It ramps up your workouts. Well, if you work out. Turns off your hunger, elevates your mood, helps you to resist fattening foods, and gives you a smooth flow of energy with no crash. The testimonials? Colin in Illinois lost 30 pounds in 8 weeks, didn't work out. Susie in Missouri, 10 pounds in 20 days, she didn't work out. Anna in California did work out and went from a size 14 to a size 4 in 90 days. If you want results like this, working out or not, order Zip and Zap now and also ask about Lametco International's first line of defense products. Tell him Michael Herzog sent you. Call 1-800-933-2565. That's 1-800-933-2565.
Now on DVD, my newest documentary film, The Secret Rite, Volume 1. I'm Josh Reeves, and for the almost 2 years, I have researched the secretive right-wing group known as the Council for National Policy. This film explores for the first time the hidden hand that controls the religious and military aims of the American right wing, with such topics as Iran-Contra, the John Birch Society, eugenics, the Vatican controllers, Christian Zionists, the Bohemian Grove, the Patriot Movement, and more. More powerful than the Council on Foreign Relations, more secretive than the Bilderberg Group, The Secret Right Volume 1 goes where no other film has dared to go. Get your copy today at secretrightmovie.com. That's www.secretrightmovie.com. And find out what you haven't been told about the New World Order.
Loan modifications don't work, at least not without some leverage from a forensic audit by mortgage fraud examiners. Have your payments skyrocketed under an adjustable rate mortgage? Have you been laid off or had your hours cut? Are balloon payments coming due? Congress and the White House are pinning their hopes on homeowners renegotiating their mortgages to stop the housing crisis. Trouble is, the banks are saying no 80% of the time. That's where Mortgage Fraud Examiners comes in. They perform forensic loan audits and appraisals to find legal deficits in your mortgage. They estimate that up to 85% of all mortgages have legal problems. Banks and lenders suddenly start cooperating if faced with a lawsuit for violating lending laws or appraisal fraud. You could gain some powerful ammunition to use for mortgage fraud examiners. Get more information at www.mortgagefraudexaminers.com or call 800-540-EXAM. That's 800-540-3926.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we're back right here on our Wednesday, June the 3rd, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. My name is William Robertson, and the first segment of today's broadcast, we just started into the market reports for today. We find that gold is trading down $4 at $977.10, silver off 12 cents at $15.84, platinum up $6 at $12.45, palladium flat at $247 an ounce. Going into those stock markets, the Dow Jones closed up 19 points yesterday to 87.41. The NASDAQ closed up 8 points at 18.37. The S&P was up 2 points at 9.45. Crude oil this morning trading $67.61, off 94 cents off of yesterday's closing. The U.S. dollar index up 32 basis points. It seems to have altered everything, but it's up 32 basis points. It's still trading below the 79 level, 78.86. Is it going to go lower today? Will it go up again today? I don't know. We'll just have to keep following it. Got all these funny money market manipulators working behind the screens in there. Let's look at our basket of currencies today, all of them down. Of course, when the U.S. dollar goes up, they go down, and this is what happened. The Canadian dollar today is 92 cents U.S. The Mexican peso still right at 8 cents U.S. The euro, $1.42. British pounds, you can buy them for $1.65. Swiss francs, 94 cents. So we see all of the foreign exchange rates are down a little bit today. The foreign currencies and our basket of currencies are down as the dollar goes up a little bit. The two-year bonds trading are the yield, the bond yield is 0.94, just below 1%. The 10-year bonds are out there for 3.57. The 30-year bonds are at 4.47%. So that's the market news for today. lots of news on the wires today, but a very, very, it's a paucity of anything of any quality. Looked like a regurgitorium, largely. But the only thing that's out there that seemed to be of any value to talk about and to bring to your attention, once again, this off of Bloomberg. Courtney Schleisserman writes the article. Companies in the U.S. cut an estimated 532,000 workers from payrolls in May. Every month, since I've been on this network and since I've been back on the radio, we've been seeing these 500,000 workers being sacked monthly. Not the last time we were around, it was 6.6 million. Now we must be over 7 million men and women out of work all across America. Not a good deal, not a good deal at all. But continuing here from the article, as the labor market shows little signs of improving, even as the recession abated, a private report showed today, the drop in the ADP employer services gauge was higher than economists forecast. April's reading was revised to show a reduction of 545,000 workers, up from a previous estimate of 491,000. So it came in higher than all of those. Anyway. Companies from GM and Chrysler LLC, American Express, etc., continue to cut their jobs to control costs, even as the economy shows signs of stabilizing. I don't see where the economy is showing any signs of stabilizing. You got the president's working group on financial markets in there, and they've got the long-handled jack, and they've been trying to prop it up, shore it up, jack it up, and sustain it any way they possibly can. But I don't see how this economy could ever be said to be stabilizing when the trillions and trillions that were thrown into it, like I've been saying all along, this inflation train is coming around the bend and it's coming right at us, Dorothy. Continuing from the article here, it says, still losing over 500,000 jobs a month is hard to get excited about. Derek Holt, an economist at Scotia Capital Inc. in Toronto, said in a note to his clients, steep job losses still signal a deeply troubled economy, and I'll say, second to that, Derek. You're right on the money there. Economists forecast the ADP report would show a decline of 525,000 jobs, according to the median of 28 estimates in a Bloomberg survey. A government report on June the 5th may show the payrolls at companies and government agencies shrank by 520,000 in May, and unemployment rose to a 25-year high of 9.2%, according to a survey of Bloomberg economists. Anyway, job cuts announced last month, blah, 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 slowed show, blah, 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 blah. Forget about it. You got it. That's where it's at. Not good news. There was another bit of information that was revealed yesterday. Again, I have to tip my hat to Robbie Noel for his keeping his nose to the grindstone, so to speak. This is a rather interesting and perhaps a very important article. He's got it posted on his website, but you can go to... Yeah, let's see if I can see the website here. Here it is. You can go to www.numismaster.com, N-U-M-I-S-M-A-S-T-E-R.com, numismaster.com. Find an article right there by Patrick Heller. Did the U.S. export over 175 million ounces of gold? Just listen to this story. Very interesting story. Not too long, two pages. We'll go right straight through it. June the 1st, as of yesterday, 2009. This is a Patrick Heller market update. The United States Geological Survey, that would be the USGS, publishes monthly mineral industry surveys with one series that focuses on gold production, imports, and exports. These reports include information from the U.S. Census Bureau on the quantities of refined gold bullion and gold compounds exported from the U.S. Now, we'll get into what these gold compounds are. Very interesting. But there's our reports that are made and kept by the USGS that report this quantities of gold, bullion, and gold compounds exported from the U.S. In other words, gold going away from us. The latest monthly report is from February 2009, which includes data for 2008 and early 2009. The February 2008 report is the oldest of these reports available at the USGS website. You can go there yourself and visit www.usgs.gov. That's the United States Geological Survey, usgeological survey.gov, which includes data for all of 2007. For prior years, there are annual reports that do not lay out the data in the same format. In 2008, domestic U.S. gold production was reported at between 228 and 230 metric tons. Since a metric ton contains 32,151 troy ounces of gold, that means that U.S. mine output was somewhere between 7.3 million and 7.395 million ounces last year. In 2007, gold mine output was about 244 tons, or 7.845 million troy ounces. There's a little bit of a difference in here. U.S. net exports, the gross exports minus the imports of refined gold, were about 10.8 million ounces in 2008, 11.2 million ounces in 2007. Again, I realize there's lots of numbers here, lots of statistics. So you want to visit this little website. It's not such a little website. It's a pretty interesting website. I actually went there this morning myself, numismaster.com, and check it out. Read this article for yourself. Download it. Keep a copy of it. This could be really important news. The intriguing statistics contained in these two annual totals in the net exports of gold compounds. For 2008, there were net exports of 2818 tons of gold compounds. In 2007, the net exports were 1,988 tons. Rob Kirby of Kirby Analytics in Toronto. Now, I went in and did that search also. Yes, you can just type in Kirby Analytics Toronto, and you'll come right up on his website. That's KirbyAnalytics.com. Run it all together like a Kirby vacuum cleaner and analytics. Be right back. Stay with us.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor. Absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Ah!
So we're back once again here on Become Vocal Local. Again, the call-in number is 866-841-1065. Again, the website for this gentleman is Kirby Analytics. He's out of Toronto, Rob Kirby, Kirby Analytics in Toronto. The article that I'm reading from comes off of numismaster.com. Very, very interesting here as this develops. According to the Census Bureau, gold compounds include industrial type products containing low percentages or amounts of actual gold content, with gold paint being given as one example. But I can also tell you from what I heard yesterday that gold melt is another example. In other words, when coins are melted down, they are considered gold compounds. They're not pure gold. They're like a 22 karat gold, if my memory serves me right. And this is, may very well be where the gold from our reserves has come from or has gone into these exports. In other words, basically sending all of the gold out of this country. All of it. Except for that which is held in private hands. Let's continue here. Again, according to the Census Bureau, gold compounds include industrial-type products containing low percentages or amounts of actual gold content, with gold paint being given as one example. Kirby mentioned to the USGS employee that the increase in net exports from 2007 to 2008 did not make sense given the global economic downturn. The USGS employee acknowledged that the figures did not make sense, which was one reason that the Census Bureau had been contacted to confirm the data. Kirby then observed that the high value of such exports did not make sense if it could include only industrial goods. Given the decline in global commercial activity, rather, Kirby speculated the amount of gold exported indicated that it was most likely to be gold bullion or equivalent forms to this. The USGS employee responded, "That would be correct." Quote unquote, that would be correct. Gold bullion or equivalent forms. It's not just gold paint. So for 2007 and 2008 combined, the U.S. exported 22 million ounces of refined gold and over 154 million ounces of compound gold. And this is more than 11 times the U.S. gold mine production during those 2 years. In fact, this is higher than global gold mine output. Where did all this gold come from? Now, dear listeners, I'm not reading fiction here. This is an article that broke yesterday on these websites. This is apparently genuine, verifiable fact. Continuing from the article here, this amount of gold exceeds what is held by all private parties in the U.S. combined. When the U.S. government called in gold in 1933, it then melted down the coins without refining. In other words, they didn't do anything extra to it. They just took all the coins, piled them all in a melting pot, melted them down, and poured them out into bars or something. As a result, such bars from the coin melt would have a purity of around 90% gold, you know, because they put other materials in with the gold coins so that the coins are more durable. These would not qualify for the description as refined gold, but could easily fit the definition of compound gold. In the past few years, several gold traders have commented that a surprising number of coin melt gold bars were being delivered in London and Zurich markets, bars which almost certainly came from U.S. Treasury vaults. Everybody's asking about, well, where's the gold in Fort Knox, right? It is possible that some of these gold exports could be the repatriation of foreign central bank gold that have been stored with the United States Federal Reserve. Such transfers would be classified as quote-unquote exports for the purpose of this report. The other possibility is it could be gold formerly held by the only central bank in the world that had that much gold, and that is the United States. It's being exported. It's out of here. It's gone. Wherever this gold came from, it's bad news for the U.S. government. The article continues, if foreign central banks are pulling their gold reserves out of storage in the United States, that signals a lost faith in the U.S. financial strength, which the U.S. government would not want the general public to learn about. Well, you're learning about it here today. If the U.S. government has actually been exporting its own gold while trying to pretend that the quantity in its vaults is unchanged, confirmation of exports would clobber faith in both the U.S. government and it's dollar. Timmy Geithner over in China, talking about the strong dollar policy, right? The U.S. government has not had a genuine audit of its gold holdings in decades. In recent years, it has changed the description of gold holdings and reports that now it is only described as custodial gold rather than gold reserves. Now, I've been following these ETFs. They have in their prospectuses, the SPDR Gold Trust has written in their prospectus about their custodians. There's at least one in England, in London, where they claim to store the gold for these SPDR, the big spider on the web, Gold Trust, exchange-traded funds. But here in these gold holding reports, they're described as custodial gold rather than gold reserves. In other words, it's gold we're holding custodians for someone else. The so-called gold experts, such as the World Gold Council, which is up to its neck in this SPDR Gold Trust, SPDR exchange-traded funds, World Gold Council is involved in that, GFMS and the CPM Group do not include the appearance of all of these gold supplies in their reports on global gold supplies and demand, which makes their analysis grossly inaccurate. The World Gold Council, the GFMS, and CPM Group do not include the appearance of all these gold supplies in their reports on global gold supplies and demand, which makes their analyses grossly inaccurate. The U.S. government has a huge interest in hoping that the general public will not notice or care where all this gold came from. On the other side, for their personal financial protection, Americans urgently need to know the source of all this gold. Kirby released his report last Friday. I expect that it will foster a clamor for disclosure. If the U.S. government resists providing the information, people will assume the worst, that the U.S. government has a lot less gold than it claims. It would be difficult for the government to lie about the source of this gold and get away with it. Too many analysts will be double-checking the information. Alternatively, the U.S. government could honestly admit where the gold came from, which I am confident will show much lower gold holdings than reported. No matter how the U.S. government responds, I anticipate that this matter will spark a sharp increase in the price of gold. So that's the article. You can get it for yourself. www.numismaster.com. The title of the article is Did U.S. Export Over 175 Million Ounces of Gold? And it was written by Patrick Keller. Market update. So that's the news for today, the financial news. That's a very disturbing article. It also indicates that there may indeed be a substantial spike up as a result of this in the prices of gold, so watch that. I'm not selling gold here. I don't advise you. I'm not your economic advisor or your counselor, and I don't have handkerchiefs or anything like that to offer. So just be advised. If you have any interest in getting involved in the gold and silver markets, or if you have money invested in the gold and silver markets, do be paying very close attention. Also, keep a very close track at the changes in the silver. The percentage your gains in silver have been exceeding the percentage gains in gold quite a bit. And so if you, as I've said before, if you're not in the market for $977 gold and you still need to find some insurance for your paper dollars, silver is the poor man's gold. It is an option, and it very well may outperform gold dollar for dollar. You know, gold is really nice, but to get a 100% or 200% return on your investment in gold, it'd have to go to $2,000. Silver only has to hit $31. So there you go on that. We'll pick it up on the other side. We're going to communism, the revolution, counter-revolution, and Marxism. Stay with us.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skin care, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned right here again on Vocal Local. Become Vocal Local is the name of the broadcast. I am William Roberts. We're going to go into our study for today. We've been talking about revolution, counter-revolution, Marxism, communism, anarchism, so much the last couple of weeks, months almost, last month. And there's reason for all of that, of course. If we can understand some of the philosophical underpinnings, the theological, philosophical underpinnings, the social, economic underpinnings, of this bunch, this cabal that are seizing control of the planet, then maybe we can start to wrap our minds around techniques and solutions that we can either stop or block or overcome, overpower, or put them out of business. Certainly one of the tools that we have available is the truth. The best we can bring it out. You know, it's subjective in some regards, it's objective in other regards. Some things can be absolutely proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. Some things you just have to take on faith. Hope is a, as they say, hope makes for a really dandy breakfast, but it makes for a really poor supper. We can begin with faith and belief and things like that, but by the end of the day, we're going to need to have some facts on the table. And there's certainly plenty of facts out there that can give us ideas and understandings about who was, you know, who are the communists and where did socialism get its roots, you know, and what is anarchy and what is anarchism and all of these things that we've been studying. And so we just add a little bit of knowledge to our bank knowledge each day and drawing from as many credible sources as we can. then, you know, we can get away from this doubt and fear and worry and all the hanky-wringers, all the symptomizers, symptomologists and victimologists. We can correctly analyze the disease. If we can isolate the disease, then we can begin to cure the disease, and then all of the symptoms and all of the victims start to clear up themselves. And so I have focused a lot of my research on these various isms because they have made major impact on our world around us. But a lot of the isms rise up out of conditions, economic conditions and social conditions and even environmental conditions around the planet. And then they just kind of all morph together and fuse and change, and like amoebas, like zygotes, they just start to split and develop other things, and we come to where we are at today. But the influence of Karl Marx upon the 19th and the 20th centuries, as our author Edward McNall Burns writes in our World Civilizations textbook, you know, this off page 705, this is a 1,083-page book, there's no way I could cover it all on air. But we've touched a lot of this. We've covered more of this book than you'd get in a college course, at least the person that took this course in World Civilization. The little X's and stars and circles around the various chapters and sections in the book that were assigned to be read and were underlined by the student, we've gone over much more than they've covered in a college quarter in just the last month here, together with a whole bunch of information drug in from other sources. But the influence of Karl Marx upon the 19th and the 20th centuries can only be compared with that of Voltaire or Rousseau upon the 18th. Now, we didn't get a chance to go into Voltaire or Rousseau with any detail. Perhaps we'll have time to do that in the future. But let's look at Marx. His doctrine of the economic interpretation of history is a popular theory among historians who are not his own followers. He numbers his disciples in every civilized nation of this planet and in a great many backward countries besides. In Russia, and again, this book was, this edition was published in 1963, the author writes, in Russia, he is almost a god, where his dogma of dialectical materialism is accepted not only as a foundation of economics, but as a test to which science, philosophy, art, and literature must also conform. In every industrialized nation before World War I, that'd be 1914 and 1918, before the Worldwide War I, there was a socialist political party of considerable importance. Every industrialized nation, including the United States of America. I just laugh when I hear these people talking, well, you know, these congressmen, you hear them on these little sound bites. Oh, you know, hey, this is socialism. Well, duh. Wake up, bonehead. How many hundreds of thousands of dollars are you bilking out of the people, and you're surprised that we're starting to implement socialist programming in the United States of America? We've only been doing it for 100 years. Get out of the way. Can't use your brain. Get out of Congress. Get out of your state house. Get out of your courthouses. Hello? Anyway, I get a little irritated with that. Makes for good news. You know, but it's ridiculous. Germany having the largest representation in the Reichstag after 1912. Nearly everywhere, the growth of socialism was a vital influence in furthering the enactment of social insurance and minimum wage laws and in promoting taxation of incomes and inheritances for the purpose of redistribution of wealth. And our caller called in and correctly, you know, talked about the idea of from each according to his ability, to each according to his need. That's the redistribution of wealth scheme. It's an old deal. It's no longer new. Marx, of course, was not interested in these things as ends in themselves, but the ruling classes were eventually persuaded to adopt them as a convenient tub to be thrown to the socialist whale. Socialists have also quite generally lent their support to the cooperative movement, all of the co-ops, the Granges, etc., all across America, electrical co-ops, farmers' Granges, you know, all that. Bunch of socialist stuff coming on us and at us. Socialists have also quite generally lent their support to the cooperative movement, to government ownership of railroads and public utilities, and to innumerable schemes for protecting workers and consumers against the power of monopoly capitalism. Now, there's nothing good, really, to say about monopoly capitalism. I'm opposed to that myself. But when the cure is worse than the disease, then we have to question the motive. There are things we can do to restrict the opportunity, if necessary, for those that who intergenerationally and for hundreds of years have gained such an incredible stranglehold on certain essentials that you'd have to question our sanity for allowing that to continue. But we don't have to turn roundabout and then socialize the whole country because it exists. Continuing here, toward the end of the 19th century, the followers of Marx split into two factions. The majority in most countries adhered to the doctrines of a sect known as the revisionists, who, as their name implies, believed that the theories of Marx should be revised to bring them into line with changing conditions. You know, when you look at the president, the usurper, Barry the usurper, as I've said, he's kind of a Neapolitan. He calls himself a citizen of the world. Like Neapolitan ice cream, you know, vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry. Well, he happens to have a very red stripe, strawberry red, oh-so-pinko, commie red stripe right up his spine. And it basically just comes from his upbringing, the time he grew up, the people he was around, and so on and so forth. He's been indoctrinated thoroughly in all of this stuff. And you can hear it in his words when he talks, his campaign rhetoric, and now the legislation coming out of Washington, D.C. Nothing that the usurper puts his hand to and signs could ever be considered constitutional law. He's not qualified constitutionally to serve, but nevertheless, as legal positivism, whatever the boy prince wants or says, has the force of law, though it may not be legal. It may be legal, but it is not lawful. But it impacts us. This is all a lot of Marxism, but here's this Marxist revisionism where we change the writings of Marx and his ideas to suit the changing times. This is that living constitution idea again. So the one of these two beliefs, these two doctrines were known as the revisionists, and as their name implies, they believed that the theories of Marx should be revised to bring them into line with changing conditions. The other faction was made up of the strict Marxists, who insisted that not one jot or tittle of the master's teaching should be modified. You'll find similar language to that in the Bible. In addition to this cleavage and general attitude, there was also specific differences. We'll pick up on some of those specific differences on the other side. Stay with us.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Hey, folks, I've got a question for you. Do you force yourself out of bed each morning and drag throughout the day? Do you grab for that sugar pick-me-up only to later crash and feel even more tired? Well, I've got the solution for you. Put a zip in your day and zap your appetite. Reclaim your get-up-and-go with Zip and Zap. Let me tell you what you'll notice in immediate benefits. It ramps up your workouts. Well, if you work out. Turns off your hunger, elevates your mood, helps you to resist fattening foods, and gives you a smooth flow of energy with no crash. The testimonials? Colin in Illinois lost 30 pounds in 8 weeks, didn't work out. Susie in Missouri, 10 pounds in 20 days, she didn't work out. Anna in California did work out and went from a size 14 to a size 4 in 90 days. If you want results like this, working out or not, order Zip and Zap now and also ask about Lametco International's first line of defense products. Tell them Michael Herzog sent you. Call 1-800-933-2565. That's 1-800-933-2565.
Now on DVD, my newest documentary film, The Secret Rite, Volume 1. I'm Josh Reeves, and for the almost 2 years, I have researched the secretive right-wing group known as the Council for National Policy. This film explores for the first time the hidden hand that controls the religious and military aims of the American right wing, with such topics as Iran-Contra, the John Birch Society, eugenics, the Vatican controllers, Christian Zionists, the Bohemian Grove, the Patriot Movement, and more. More powerful than the Council on Foreign Relations, more secretive than the Bilderberg Group, The Secret Rite Volume 1 goes where no other film has dared to go. Get your copy today at secretrightmovie.com. That's www.secretrightmovie.com. And find out what you haven't been told about the New World Order.
There's no end to the oppression today. We've taken all our politics before.
And we are back once again, diving into this Marxist ideology, getting to understand it a little bit better as we go. Whereas the revisionists advocated the attainment of socialism by peaceful and gradual methods, and this is one of the real keys in this, the strict Marxists were revolutionists. As they say, you cut a communist and a socialist bleeds. It's all the main and the primary difference between socialism in general and communism is tactic. That's just about the major difference. So continuing here, The revisionists concentrated their attention upon immediate reforms with the slogans, here's a quote, less for the better future and more for the better present. Close quote. The strict Marxists demanded the dictatorship of the proletariat or nothing. The leaders of the majority faction were willing to recognize the interests of separate nations. They were prone to talk about duty to the fatherland, homeland security, and they frequently supported the demands of their governments for increased armaments and for lengthened terms of military service. The strict Marxists, on the other hand, were uncompromising internationalists. They held to the contention of Marx that the world proletariat is one great brotherhood. You heard the little declaration that they signed over there in the on Jekyll Island the other day. We the People groups. Talking about the all-seeing eye and the brotherhood of man. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Makes you wonder. Sure makes me wonder. But anyway, the world proletariat as one great brotherhood. You find the same kind of language out of the Masons. And they frowned upon patriotism and nationalism as capitalist devices to throw dust in the eyes of the workers. And there's some of that. In the past, we've talked about nationalism. We'll go into that again. Probably need to go into that again. It's so important. There are those that are, you know, that always champion this idea of the prejudices between countries and peoples and so on and so forth. There's a lot to that idea of promoting nationalism. It becomes almost jingoism, propaganda in itself. Patriotism can be used the same way. promulgating and promoting national hatreds and national prejudices and so on. Not to advocate or champion the idea of the one great brotherhood or the brotherhood of man and all of that nonsense. Anyway, let's continue here. On the whole, it was the revisionists who gained control of the socialist parties in the majority of the Western nations. The Social Democratic Party in Germany, the Unified Socialist Party in France, the Socialist Party in the United States were all very largely dominated by the moderate faction. In Britain, leadership of the Labour Party was supplied in most cases by the Fabian Socialists, so named from their policy of delay in imitation of the tactics of Fabius, a Roman general in the wars against Carthage. Prominent among the Fabians were Beatrice and Sidney Webb, and I've spoken of them many times in the past and will again in the future, the novelist H.G. Wells, and the dramatist George Bernard Shaw. About 1918, About 1918, most of the strict Marxists withdrew altogether from the socialist parties and have since been known generally as communists. But quote-unquote strict Marxism, in its communist form, has often shown a tendency in recent years to abandon the internationalism of Marx and to glorify patriotism and defense of the fatherland. This was particularly true of Russia and of some of her satellites during World War II and the years following. And now we come back again and find ourselves right back smack upside anarchism. We started our study on anarchism, and it's led us here, and now we find ourselves back in anarchism. Many of the social idealists of the 19th and early 20th centuries were torn between the desire to improve the welfare of society by collectivist means and the hope of gaining for the individual a maximum personal freedom. We have seen that even the Marxists proposed eventually to abolish the state. But the collectivist individualist dilemma received much more attention from the anarchists. Strictly defined, this is the way that our author here, Edward McNall Burns, in his research, defines anarchism. Strictly defined, anarchism means opposition to all government based upon force. We know that there is much more to anarchism now, however, having studied it. The followers of this philosophy have generally conceded that the some form of social organization would be necessary, but they condemn the coercive state as absolutely incompatible with human liberty. As to the problem of what should be done with the economic system, the anarchists have sharply disagreed. Some have been pure individualists, holding that man's right to acquire and use property should be subject only to the laws of nature. The father of anarchism, William Godwin, believed that if the land were made as free as the air, no further change in the economic structure would be necessary. In the judgment of the French anarchist, Pierre Proudhon, whom we studied, an arrangement whereby society would provide man with every free and unlimited credit would be a sufficient means of ensuring economic justice. The dog barking over there in my neighbor's yard, annoying. Such a plan, he thought, would prevent anyone from monopolizing the resources of the earth. That would guarantee to the citizen who was thrifty and industrious the full reward of his labor. So much involved in all this. We're going to get back into more of that anarchism. But as we've been studying Agenda 21, the program of action out of Rio de Janeiro, 1992, we can see that in this creation of the GIS-GPS global governance system, figuring very high in all of this is the very careful accounting, if you will, of all of the resources on the planet Earth. Human resources and natural resources and every blade of grass and every grain of sand and every cow and every pig and every sheep and every pickup truck, car, etc. There's a desire among some to parcel it out, everything on the planet, following this very model. The idea from each according to their ability, from every country, according to their ability to cough up their resources, to every man, woman, and child, according to their need. It's a massive, global, implementation of this socialist world utopian vision, if you will. It claims social justice. But it really makes you wonder. Everyone would vote for something for me, for me, for me. But when it comes around to them having to pay into the system, then they balk. So as long as you're on the receiving end of some socialist program, you're all for it. Or maybe you just remain silent. Maybe you cash your stimulus checks. Maybe you go out to Walmart and buy your big screen TV with them or something. Other people reject that stuff. It all depends. I like to say that it's very difficult to be a little bit socialist. It's like pregnancy. You either are or you're not. And so much of what we're going to be needing to do is to realize that all of this material, anarchy and socialism and communism and capitalism and free market economics and all of this has been written down. It's been thought out. And yet as you listen from one network to another network, from one host to another host, we don't hear any of these kinds of plans coming from the people talking about what are we going to do? Where are we going to go? Do we have a plan? Do we have any kind of an idea of what we would rather see? You know, like I say, we're not going back to three-corner hats and mourner's benches and 50-caliber black powder rifles. That's not going to happen. Where are we going to go in the future? We very carefully research our history, where we've been in the past, how we got to where we are today. And then we need to look into the future if we can and see where we need to go. I believe always into greater and greater freedom and less tyranny and despotic controls. But then we always have to find ourselves today in the present, falling forward into the future. Well, we'll go into the next hour right after this break. Stay with us. We will be right back.
Loan modifications don't work, at least not without some leverage from a forensic audit by mortgage fraud examiners. Have your payments skyrocketed under an adjustable rate mortgage? Have you been laid off or had your hours cut? Are balloon payments coming due? Congress and the White House are pinning their hopes on homeowners renegotiating their mortgages to stop the housing crisis. Trouble is, the banks are saying no 80% of the time. That's where Mortgage Fraud Examiners comes in. They perform forensic loan audits and appraisals to find legal deficits in your mortgage. They estimate that up to 85% of all mortgages have legal problems. Banks and lenders suddenly start cooperating if faced with a lawsuit for violating lending laws or appraisal fraud. You could gain some powerful ammunition to use for mortgage fraud examiners. Get more information at www.mortgagefraudexaminers.com or call 800-540-EXAM. That's 800-540-3926.
Aerial spray, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Yeah.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And we're back right here on our Wednesday, June the 3rd, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We do come to you Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. My name is William Roberts. We're after eyeballs here in socialism, anarchism, and all the rest of these isms. Very interesting. Very interesting studies to me, at least. I hope they're interesting to you. I hope they're useful for you, so that we're not so easily led astray by every wind of doctrine that seems to come down the stovepipe at us. Going back in a little bit to closing out on anarchism, because there are a lot of other things I would like to go to. We're trying to get to an understanding of revolution and counter-revolution and understand how public opinion shapes law and legislation, and that there's not only public opinion, but then there are cross-currents of public opinion, and the cross-currents sometimes can be just as powerful as the mainstream. But the first of the anarchists to exert much influence were those who combined their hatred of the state with a definite philosophy of collectivism. And then our author, McNall Burns, goes on, and he talks about Bakunin and Kropotkin and Tolstoy and others that we've already talked about in the past. But just reemphasize here from his writing, the first of the anarchists to exert much influence. And these are the modern day, this is modern day stuff, 1800s, late 1800s, early 1900s. The first of the anarchists to exert much influence were those who combined their hatred of the state with a definite philosophy of collectivism. So before you go running off and embracing anarchy, 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 you know, doubt, 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 fear, 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 well, rumble, 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 just realize that a lot of this is just as deeply rooted in collectivism and socialism and communism and all these other isms as any of the other ideologies. And so we don't want to jump out of the frying pan into the fire here. We need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, perhaps. Jumping back here to Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, The Communist Manifesto, this out of one of my more durable copies of it, a Penguin classic, easily obtained at any flea market usually. This one I've had around since 2003. Read it probably 50 times. Read it quite often, actually. Refer to it because it's very illuminating. But as many of you may recall, quite a long time ago, I don't have the dates in front of me, but I had the opportunity, if you want to consider it that, I had the opportunity of meeting Jane Fonda back in the 70s, and it was prior to the day before a big confab, a rally, a presentation, if you will, in Seattle that she and Tom Hayden made at the Masonic Temple on the corner of Broadway Street and Pike and Pine in Seattle. So I went to, I think I don't remember precisely whether I went to the airport and picked her up or whether I went to the Olympic Hotel from picked her up for where she might have taken a ride from the airport or to the hotel. But nevertheless, I wound up spending the whole afternoon with her. At the time, I was a little cub reporter for the college newspaper. And so I was gathering information for an article, and I didn't really want to have to go down that road with her, but finally got around to it and asked her if she was a communist. As everyone said, she was a communist. And she asked me if I knew anything about communism, and I said, well, not really. And she said, well, before you accuse anybody of being a communist, you ought to find out something about it. Let me tell you, she was gorgeous. I was completely struck, you know, just being in her presence, so to speak, having seen the movie Barbarella. Anyway, we'll pick it up on the other side with Jane Fonda and communism and the Communist Manifesto. Stay with us.
would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned once again here on our Wednesday, June the 3rd, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local as we're going into the second hour. In the opening segment, I commented in regards to Jane Fonda and the Communist Manifesto. She was really the inspiration for me to read it. She challenged me to read it. She asked me if I knew anything about communism, and I said no. She said, well, you really ought to learn something about communism before you accuse people of being communists. And I said, well, how does one go about finding out what is communism? She said, well, I would suggest you read the Communist Manifesto, which I did. Right after I got done interviewing her, when Tom Hayden showed up, off they went and enjoyed their high-level life, and I immediately went straight across to the college campus and went into the library and purloined a copy of the Communist Manifesto, which I kept for years. You know, in those days, everybody was saying, steal this book, you know. Was it Edward Abbey? Steal this book. I don't know. Anyway, long story in short, had read it, and I've read it many times. But there's a lot to learn about all of this. I've never been impressed with the idea of socialism or communism. Never have been. It doesn't appeal to me at all. The idea of robbing from Peter to pay Paul just doesn't sit well with me. Morally, ethically, spiritually, whatever, however you want to look at it, it doesn't look like a good deal. But let's find out a little bit about that. Proletarians and Communists, right out of Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, the Communist Manifesto. It goes this way. In what relation do the communists stand to the proletarians as a whole? You know, the proletarians are all of us wage slaves, us grunts on the bottom. The communists do not form a separate party opposed to other working class parties. They have no interests separate and apart from those of the proletariat as a whole. They do not set up any sectarian principles of their own by which to shape and mold the proletarian movement. The communists are distinguished from the other working class parties by this only. One, in the national struggles of the proletarians of the different countries, they point out and bring to the front the common interests of the entire proletariat, independently of all nationality. And I could add this, the brotherhood of man. Workers of the world unite. Okay? It's independent of all nationality, supposedly. Here's two. In the various stages of development which the struggle of the working class against the bourgeoisie has to pass through, they always and everywhere represent the interests of the movement as a whole. Continuing, those are those two. By only one, and two. Those are the two. The communists, therefore, are on the one hand practically the most advanced and resolute section of the working class parties of every country, that section which pushes forward all others. On the other hand, theoretically, they have over the great mass of the proletariat the advantage of clearly understanding the line of the march, the conditions, and the ultimate general results of the proletarian movement. And we're looking at the greatest number. When we go back and read the writings of Jeremy Bentham and the other philosophical radicals of his time period, the idea of the greatest good of the greatest number was the beginnings of this idea of communism and socialism. From each according to his ability, to each according to their needs. But they're looking at the masses. The masses had been overlooked by the bourgeoisie, the mercantilists, as they established their absolutist kings and queens, the divine right of kings and all that rot. Feudal lords and vassals having been reduced to minor nobility, as the mercantilists and the capitalists and the internationalists began setting up their colonies and things like that around the planet. The workers were just kind of left to shift for themselves. So Marx and Engels and his buddies and the positivists and everybody else got to looking at that, and they said, why? Look at this huge voting bloc. If we focused on them, we might be able to get them to help us gain control of the planet. And it's been very cleverly promulgated ever since. And now we find ourselves that capstone, as the capstone is being lowered into place on this great system, the beast system, we find ourselves studying how it was that we got here and what must we do to block this. The immediate aim of the communists is the same as that of all other proletarian parties, the formation of the proletariat into a class, overthrow of the bourgeois supremacy. That's not the middle class. Don't be mistaken. There's a lot more to this concept of bourgeoisie, an entrepreneur, than you may know. Conquest of political power by the proletariat. Now you know, and I know, as this program advanced, it was the proletariat that was used as the battering ram. It was the proletariat that were used to moisten the soil with their blood. But it was the commissars, the Bolsheviks, the Mensheviks, the majors and the minors, that then went on to seize the reins of power. But they were propelled into that position by the proletariat. The theoretical conclusions of the communists are in no way based on ideas or principles that have been invented or discovered by this or that would-be universal reformer. They merely express in general terms actual relations springing from an existing class struggle, from a historical movement going on under our very eyes. The abolition of existing property relations is not at all a distinctive feature of communism. Remember, all of these books, whether we're reading from Kracker's Proletarian Lessons or Germany Revolution and Counter-Revolution or from the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences, the article by the same title, all of these are designed simply as a propaganda to convince people that this is something we really need to do and we should get involved in it, like the Campaign for Liberty or We the People or whatever the others are, End the Fed or Tea Bags for Barry or something. Propaganda works at every level. If you're trying to sell people on doing something, you have a sales pitch. And this is their sales pitch that we're reading directly from their writings. I'm not inventing any of this stuff. But be careful, as our caller said, I could be twisty. Love that call. You're welcome to call back anytime, dear, from California. Good call. All property relations in the past have continually been subject to historical change consequent upon the change in historical conditions. The French Revolution, for example, abolished feudal property in favor of bourgeois property. It was a this-for-that exchange. We'll pick that this-for-that exchange up right after this break. Stay with us. The plot thickens.
My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book, exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
All right, so we're back again, and we're going through this little brief introduction here from the Communist Manifesto, Proletarians and Communists, propaganda largely, but at the same time, it's the building of an ideology. It's selling people on a plan or a program of action. Continuing here, he says, the distinguishing feature of communism is not the abolition of property generally, but the abolition of bourgeois property. So it's not everybody's property that's going to get whacked. It's just the property that belongs to the bourgeois. But modern bourgeois private property is the final and most complete expression of the system of producing and appropriating products that is based on class antagonism, on the exploitation of the many by the few. Yeah, we hear it all the time. In this sense, the theory of the communists may be summed up in the single sentence, abolition of private property. Now, there's more, a lot more, between here and where we're going to need to go, but I just want to drop down through a few of these 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto, and then I'm going to return to revolution and counter-revolution. But here we go. It says, of course, in the beginning, this cannot be effected except by means of despotic inroads on the rights of property and on the conditions of bourgeois production, by means of measures, therefore, which appear economically insufficient and untenable, but which in the course of the movement outstrip themselves, necessitate further inroads upon the old social order, and are unavoidable as means of entirely revolutionizing the mode of production. These measures will, of course, be different in different countries. Nevertheless, in the most advanced countries, in other words, the developed nations, the following will be pretty generally applicable. And we're talking about the 1800s when all this was hatched out, written up, promulgated, propagated. Marx was even writing for the New York Times. So here we go. Again, nevertheless, in the most advanced countries, the following will be pretty generally applicable. One, abolition of property and land and the application of all rents of land to public purposes. Two, a heavy progressive or graduated income tax. Not making this up, reading it right out of the manifesto. Number three, the abolition of all right of inheritance. Number four, the confiscation of the property of all emigrants and rebels. Five, centralization of credit in the hands of the state by means of a national bank with state capital and an exclusive monopoly. Six, centralization of the means of communication and transportation in the hands of the state. Seven, extension of factories and instruments of production owned by the state, the bringing into cultivation of wastelands, and the improvement of the soil generally in accordance with a common plan. 8. Equal liability of all to labor. The establishment of industrial armies, especially for agriculture. 9. The combination of agriculture with manufacturing industries. Gradual abolition of the distinction between town and country by a more equitable distribution of the population over the country. 10. Free education for all children in public schools, the abolition of children's factory labor in its present form, and the combination of education with industrial production, etc., etc., he says. When, in the course of development, class distinctions have disappeared and all production has been concentrated in the hands of a vast association of the whole nation, the public power will lose its political character. Political power, properly so called, is merely the organized power of one class for oppressing another. If the proletariat, during its contest with the bourgeoisie, is compelled by the force of circumstances to organize itself as a class, if, by means of a revolution, it makes itself the ruling class and, as such, sweeps away by force the old conditions of production, then it will, along with these conditions, have swept away the conditions for the existence of class antagonisms and away and of classes generally, and will thereby have abolished its own supremacy as a class. In place of the old bourgeois society with its classes and class antagonisms, we shall have an association in which the free development of each is the condition for the free development of the all. And so wrote Marx and Engels. Anyway, that's the planks, the first 10 planks, and there's much more to the Communist Manifesto than that. But that's the first 10 planks, and there's a lot more words in there that are usually heard, more revealing. But we can see with the nationalization, if you will, of the banks and the nationalization of government motors and the continuing national drive for this and the national drive for that and the nationalization of health care and welfare and health care and all the rest of it. It's just all coming into place. It's the new world order coming into view. Is it fait accompli? Is it done yet? No, not necessarily. Do we have to accept it just because it's been forced down our throat? No, not necessarily. We can always puke, regurgitate out this mess. But unless more people understand precisely what it is that we're up against in this idea of a global system of government, you know, where will you have redress of grievance in a global system of governments? Who are you going to complain to? Who will even listen to you? Where would you go? Where will the capital of the world be? Will it ever be at any one place at one time, or will it be happening all over the world in small conclaves and Soviets? Bilderberger meetings where you're not allowed to even photograph the automobiles as they come in. You're not even allowed within hundreds of feet of the driveway, etc. So let's find out about this revolution and counter-revolution, continue our study of that. Because wherever a revolution comes into place, oft times and generally, there's either blowback or pushback. It'll either be pushback by the Bilderbergers and the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateralists. They'll push back against us as the Ron Paul Republicans found they were being pushed back by the Republicans' established central committees. There's always pushback and blowback. Revolution, counter-revolution. And so if we can understand the process, maybe we can recognize it, and perhaps we can recognize within it things that might be useful for us at this time, this dire 12th hour. A revolution occurs, as Lenin observed, when the upper class cannot and the lower class will not continue the old system. When the upper class cannot and the lower class will not continue the old system. We're at that threshold. A revolution occurs, Lenin observed. We're there. In time, the period leading up to a revolution is marked by increasing inability at the top to maintain the status quo. And I report on this financial news every day. The failure to maintain the status quo, little Timmy and his basket of currencies being laughed to derision over in China by students, the same place where he learned to speak Chinese. The bourgeois revolutions in Western society, for instance, were preceded by an epoch of economic and social change extending over several centuries, during which the power of the capitalist bourgeoisie grew at the expense of the feudal nobility. We transitioned, we made the transition from the feudal period, the Middle Ages, the Dark Ages, into the age of mercantilism, reformation, and parliamentarianism. We'll pick that up on the other side. Stay with us.
Hey folks, I've got a question for you. Do you force yourself out of bed each morning and drag throughout the day? Do you grab for that sugar pick-me-up only to later crash and feel even more tired? Well, I've got the solution for you. Put a zip in your day and zap your appetite. Reclaim your get-up-and-go with Zip and Zap. Let me tell you what you'll notice in immediate benefits. It ramps up your workouts. Well, if you work out. Turns off your hunger, elevates your mood, helps you to resist fattening foods, and gives you a smooth flow of energy with no crash. The testimonials? Colin in Illinois lost 30 pounds in 8 weeks, didn't work out. Susie in Missouri, 10 pounds in 20 days, she didn't work out. Anna in California did work out and went from a size 14 to a size 4 in 90 days. If you want results like this, working out or not, order Zip and Zap now and also ask about Lametco International's first line of defense products. Tell him Michael Herzog sent you. Call 1-800-933-2565. That's 1-800-933-2565.
Now on DVD, my newest documentary film, The Secret Rite, Volume 1. I'm Josh Reeves, and for the almost 2 years, I have researched the secretive right-wing group known as the Council for National Policy. This film explores for the first time the hidden hand that controls the religious and military aims of the American right wing, with such topics as Iran-Contra, the John Birch Society, eugenics, the Vatican controllers, Christian Zionists, the Bohemian Grove, the Patriot Movement, and more. More powerful than the Council on Foreign Relations, more secretive than the Bilderberg Group, The Secret Right Volume 1 goes where no other film has dared to go. Get your copy today at secretrightmovie.com. That's www.secretrightmovie.com. And find out what you haven't been told about the New World Order.
We're going into the oppression today. We've taken our politics before. We can do it again.
Loan modifications don't work. At least not without some leverage from a forensic audit by mortgage fraud examiners. Have your payments skyrocketed under an adjustable rate mortgage? Have you been laid off or had your hours cut? Are balloon payments coming due? Congress and the White House are pinning their hopes on homeowners renegotiating their mortgages to stop the housing crisis. Trouble is, the banks are saying no 80% of the time. That's where Mortgage Fraud Examiners comes in. They perform forensic loan audits and appraisals to find legal deficits in your mortgage. They estimate that up to 85% of all mortgages have legal problems. Banks and lenders suddenly start cooperating if faced with a lawsuit for violating lending laws or appraisal fraud. You could gain some powerful ammunition to use for mortgage fraud examiners. Get more information at www.mortgagefraudexaminers.com or call 800-540-EXAM. That's 800-540-3926.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
All right, so we're beating our way down through this concept of revolution and counter-revolution. The stage for revolution was set when capitalist enterprise had spread from trade to all the important branches of production, and when the feudal nobility had been transformed into a class of absentee landowners living on tribute exacted from the peasantry and on bounty from the state treasury. I'm now reading from the Encyclopedia of Social Sciences, published back in the 1930s, an article titled Revolution and Counter-Revolution. Similarly, a proletarian revolution comes at the close of a fairly prolonged development, which culminates in the creation of a proletarian mass consciousness of its own power and in the concentration of production in a few large plants controlled by private monopolies or by the state. See, we're having this mass consciousness of the power, the own power, of the proletariat now. The access to the internet, coming into this knowledge for perhaps the first time in our lives, a greater understanding of the world that we live in, a little bit different from the world that we've been educated to believe that we exist in, the reality that was formed for us by the television and the other various and sundry Edward Bernays-style propaganda machines. The music culture, Hollyweird, and the rest of them, even the church is involved in all of this. Aleister Crowley, do as thou wilt, for it is the whole of the law. Whole of the law, I think is what he said. Continuing the maturing of new and potentially revolutionary forces within the old social framework is at first so slow and gradual as to be imperceptible. The maturing of new and potentially revolutionary forces within the old social framework is at first so slow and gradual as to be imperceptible. 100 listeners to this broadcast, 100 to that, 200 here, 500 there, so slow and gradual as to be imperceptible. So long as the new appears to be closely bound up with the old and permeated with the characteristic elements of the traditional ideology, the dynamic character of this development, the fact that it must ultimately transcend the bounds of the existing society, is scarcely intelligible, either to the potential advocates of change or to the future partisans of conservatism. Sound familiar? Are we selling our DVDs, putting our books out on the street, our pamphlets, our literature? In 18th century France, for instance, the rise from, now this I don't know how to pronounce properly, but it looks like ouvrier to maître ouvrier, and thence to entrepreneur. That is critical for my own research, because it gives me three other phrases, or gives me all three phrases of these stages of development. The rise of the entrepreneur, it's a study that I've been doing for some time, but nevertheless, here we go, was still so common that it would have been difficult indeed to perceive in worker and entrepreneur the two antithetical poles of fully developed capitalism, and to foresee that the conflict between capital and labor was to be of much greater historical significance than the opposition between the privileged and the third estates, which was the avowed motivation of the French Revolution. So we have to dig in sometimes and find the nuts and the bolts of these various and sundry expressions of human frustration with the world as it is today as compared with the world that we would rather live in the future. When we talk about the three estates, the third estates, you know, the nobles, the commoners, and the clergy, this avowed motivation of the French Revolution, now we find ourselves at a time where we've got other forces in the market. When the new forces have developed to a certain point, their essential differences from the old must be recognized. If they are to continue to grow, a bourgeoisie which is unconscious of its specific characteristics, which does not rise to the conception that the third estate is nothing and should be everything, according to the bold formulation of Abbe Sieyes, it's a Jesuit for you, Catholic, which is content to permit the feudal nobility to assimilate its wealthiest and most distinguished members, cannot attempt the reconstruction of state and society. Now again, if these words are just flying over the top of your head, access the archives and listen to them a couple of times. I didn't get all these articles the first time I read them either. Some of these I've had to go back through time and time again. You should see this set of encyclopedias. It looks like it's underlined, highlighted, margin written, post-it notes, notes to self, cribbing notes all over the place here, tying it all together, trying to connect the dots. So if it goes over the top of your head, don't feel bad. Just listen, try and absorb some of this. If it is to undertake such a venture, it must become aware of itself as an element alien to the established system and develop the courage to fashion the world after its own image. That's a potent little sentence. this idea is man is God, you know, the little g gods, man raising himself up to little g gods, the idea that man is perfectible, the perfectibility of man. There's a whole ideological train of thought in that. Fashioning the world after its own image. In more general terms, an effective revolutionary ideology must reveal to the rising social class that it is, and why it is, a class distinct from the society into which it is born. And we still don't have that yet. There's just not enough power in the statement of the restoration of our constitutionally limited republican form of representative government to motivate anybody to get up off the lazy boy, up off the couch. It must offer a critique of the existing order and draw the general outlines of the ideal substitute. When I say moving into a future of greater and greater freedom and less tyranny and despotic control, that's still not enough. It doesn't produce this ideal substitute. I'm not here trying to develop a religion or anything. And maybe that's why, you know, the word just kind of falls out there in space. Maybe I should get a cartoon character or woman to stand with me and dress her all up and put face paint on her, and then I could tell everybody that Jesus sent me to you and collect offerings. Then maybe people would listen. We're in a dire time here, the 12th hour. There's not much time remaining if we hope to effect a turnaround, a change. 2012 was a date that was not set by me, but was set by the globalist, Gorbachev, out there in the Presidium, Vision 2020, Agenda 21, Maurice Strong. They're date setters. We're aware of their dates, the Free Trade Area of the Americas, etc. The present, back to the article, the present and future must be contrasted if only the claims of the present to absolute validity may be denied. We need to look and find the things that not only are that are wrong today, but some of us, someone, is going to have to come up with what is right about the future and express it in such a fashion that it fires people up. There's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. That slogan, be a part of it, there, that all comes off Ron Paul's stuff. The whole revolution idea with the evil turned around the other way, well, that was the libertarian wing of the Ron Paul movement came up with that, and that little slogan and all the stickers you've seen. I don't like to emphasize evolution in the word revolution, but it's there. It's undeniable. Even if conceived in the study of a solitary thinker, a revolutionary ideology cannot for long remain isolated from practical life. So here's a solitary thinker. Hopefully not a stinker, but a thinker. Grasping, reaching, calling for an ideology. Something. Something that can motivate the people to wake up and start taking action right where they are, in your towns, in your cities, in your counties, and in your states. We have an established two-party political system. I didn't create it. It exists. You're right.
Aerial spray, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
All right, and we're back once again, deep into this article, Revolution, Counter-Revolution. We're coming to the last segment of today. So much more material we could go into, but we'll just take it as we come to it, day by day, advancing a little bit here and a little bit there. But the author here continues in this Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences. He says, it must seek to materialize itself, that is, to arouse the masses to the pitch of enthusiasm requisite to the triumph of a major social interest. The transformations thus effected through the ideology and it and in it are evident when it becomes the basis of an organized movement. It would nevertheless be a mistake to assume that ideology is more important than organization, or that the former precedes the latter. Social ideation and social volition do not work independently of each other. So there's two things you could study out. Social ideation and social volition. They do not work independently of each other, nor does organization represent merely a more or less accidental juncture of the two. A thinker in isolation does not evolve a really revolutionary ideology unless his ideas move toward the type of solution being worked out in the world of action. Ideology does not create organization. It merely reinforces and broadens the process of organization by clarifying its causes and aims. Very potent material there. Where were we led astray back in 2001 when Building 7 came down? Why is it that after William Cooper was shot to death that it's just all, everything just kind of has been all over the place? No direction in all of this. hundreds of people clambering to climb up on some kind of a pedestal, crowning themselves kings and queens, creating institutions and instruments where we don't need kings or queens or institutions or instruments. We need to understand who we are and whose we are and where we need to be in the future and what we need to be doing today. I like to say become vocal local. My own tiny teaspoon full of contribution to all of this. A thinker in isolation does not evolve a really revolutionary ideology unless his ideas move toward the type of solution being worked out in the world of action. What's happening out there in this great big wide world that we live in? What's the world calling out for at this time? Do we have any ideas as to where we're going and why we're going there? Dropping down a little further in the article, he says, not all revolutionary organizations are set up ad hoc. In many instances, organizations integrated with the existing regime become revolutionized and help to destroy it. There are those working diligently at the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission and in the President's Group of Financial Markets and all of the rest of this agency-driven perversion of what was once a constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government. There are organizations working within organizations. There are circles within circles. They become revolutionized and they help to destroy the existing system. Even the armed forces of the state are subject to transformation, the author writes, and we see that happening all around us as we militarize even the people that are out there running around in the ambulances. A revolutionized army strikes, or in military terminology, mutinies, signalizing thereby its dissolution as a fighting body, and we have dissension in the ranks today. In the military. The truth, what do they call it? The Oath Keepers or something like that. The revolutionary service which it renders is not the active one of supplying the revolution with a military instrument, but the purely passive one of leaving the tottering regime defenseless. Refusal to obey the old command, abandonment of discipline, is all that may be expected of a fatally diseased military organism. See, as I try and be a good physician for the body politic, I'm trying to point out the disease so that we don't get swept away in all of these symptoms and symptomologies and victims and victimologies. We're dying a death of 1,000 cuts here. We need to correctly identify the disease and then press forward with great haste and cure the disease. And then all the symptoms and the victims just solve themselves. For the armed force of the state, a revolution never means simply a change of battle standard. No revolutionary regime inherits from its predecessor an army whose fighting strength is not thoroughly undermined. We have to have a replacement set in hand and in mind. It's not enough just simply to destroy. I've used the analogy of the little outhouse. It is so easy to get rid of an outhouse. Get a logging chain and wrap it around the outhouse and back up the pickup or the tractor and just put it in compound low and drive creep slowly away. And the outhouse is just drugged to 100 pieces and you set the boys to it and they can pick up all the parts and pieces, pile it up and burn it. It's done. It's gone. The real challenge happens about an hour later when you need an outhouse and you don't have one. As Cazidière said back in the French Revolution, you know, gentlemen, your tools are disorder, your materials are disorder, and from these you must build order. This idea, order out of chaos. It's not sufficient just to tear things down, to rail against the machine. We have to have a replacement set. Government abhors a vacuum. Economies abhor vacuums. There has to be a replacement there. You take the little laboratory flask and put a stopper in it with two holes, and in one side you hook a glass pipe and run it over to your vacuum pump. The other side you have a little valve. Well, you open the valve or you close the valve and you turn on your vacuum pump, and you can actually create a vacuum inside of this little flask. But if you open the valve, it just immediately refills in the same air you just took out of it. That's what happens when you just throw the government out, vote the bums out. The same kind of crap comes right back in again. We can't suffer that. We don't have the time for it. So you take out your little stem pipe there and with the valve, and you replace it with a pipette that has a funnel on the top and a valve, and you close the valve. You create a vacuum in your flask with your vacuum pump. But before you open that valve up, you have to pour what you want into that little funnel, the good, the clean, the pure, the powerful, and the positive, and fill up your funnel with your replacement set. Then you open the valve, and then you fill the flask with what it is that you wanted. It's not sufficient to just tear it down. It's so much easier to destroy than it is to build. How many seconds did it take for Building 7 to come down? How many years did it take to build it? We have the same problem. Look at how many years it's taken to build this corrupt society in the United States of America and around the world. How long has it taken the Jews to build this system of funny money globally? It's taken a long time to build it. It can come down in a heartbeat, and it might come down any day. Some people are talking 2 to 4 months out. We could see a complete collapse of the system. The Chinese are already talking about a new system of currency. The Russians are talking about new currencies, moving away from the dollar and all of this. The collapse could come suddenly. But do we have a replacement set in mind? Do we have replacements in hand? Do we have a better plan? Or are we just moaning and crying and whining and complaining? A bunch of spoiled children, insane children and adolescents running the shop. An outstanding example, well, let's see, revolutionized organizations operate alongside those which have been revolutionary from their inception. Even among the latter, however, there are some which have neither formed nor maintained for been formed or maintained for political purposes. These have nevertheless a definite political orientation which colors and invigorates their activities. Well, there's just so much more to learn. Pick it up again tomorrow, folks. Until then, thanks for listening and have a good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skin care, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book, Exposing the Secret Plans of the World's Elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
As America limps on its lost legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.